Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love him and he has so much to say and share with us. Many people seem to live without the greater guidance of the Holy Spirit. They'll only give God their attention when they get in trouble. You ever wonder why people call out to God when they get in trouble, when they get in a ditch after things happen? And then the Lord moves. And it can seem like that's the only time God will talk. But really, that's the most common time that people give God their attention. When things are going to their favor, or at least not painful, things are going all right. They kind of think about what they want to do and do it. And in some ways, I've noticed that people kind of hide themselves from the guidance of God. They hide from it because they think God may call them to the ministry or call them to do something out of their comfort zone. But I'm here to tell you, God is more than ministry. And when the Lord gives me an instruction to do something to do for him, I rejoice. I know that I'm on to something. I know that I'm on to something good. I want to serve him. I still have that first love where I want to obey him and do what he say do. And I learned to embrace it. Not only the instructions he give, but everything. And I go around asking the Lord, seeking the Lord's face, even though I'm not in trouble, even though while things are going good, because he told me that's the best time to learn him. And when you follow him, when you seek him to know him, he can show you what's coming, what's on the scene. That's why Paul said, don't despise prophecy. Prophecy clues you in on what's going on for real, what's going on around you. So many people in their way, they walk right into traps. Some people walk into every trap. Their whole life is spent by walking into traps and asking the Lord to help them get out of them. And when those that are in charge, the leaders, when the men of God, the preachers, the pastors, the apostles of God, if they don't look to the Lord, if they only seek him in trouble, then they bear fruit after that kind, their persuasion. You know, every man is responsible to look to God on their own. Everybody is responsible for their own salvation, their own welfare, and their own well-being. It's their responsibility to look to the Lord, but that's not how people do. People look to leaders, and they do what the leaders do. Paul said, and the Word of God said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, as I follow Jesus Christ. Or in other words, follow me as I follow the Holy Spirit. Or follow me as I follow the Father. Follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what I say. You don't need to make the same mistakes I make. If you're in the presence of God, and anything that I do that's off course, you can know it, and you just have to know not to do that. I have wonderful parents. Looking back on their lives, their victory outclasses many. Their attitude, their motives were perfect in my sight. But the things that could have been better, I don't criticize them, but I know that if they had done this, something else would have happened. There were things that was that they may not have known. And I know that they didn't know much about spiritual warfare. They didn't know much about stopping Satan's work. They would pray. But whatever they lacked knowledge of, they lived without. But they still did a remarkable job, and I thank God for it. And there are things that can be out of place, or off course, but you don't have to walk down the same road. You can learn from it, and you can do better. My mother would teach me the Word of God from time to time. My daddy considered that I received it at church. You know, he didn't talk much. I really didn't talk to him much until I was grown. I would talk to him, but not the greater conversations. That happened when I was grown. He was just not a talkative person. I'm not either. On this broadcast, I may seem to be, but I'm really not. Those that know me know when I'm ministering, I'm talking. But when I'm just being thirsting, I don't talk much. I can go the whole day and just my mind is on the Lord and I'm talking to Him. But anyway, I said, if the Lord bless me with children, I'm gonna raise them to serve God. I'm gonna teach them everything I learned. I'm gonna teach them how to avoid the traps that I fell into. And that gave them a jump start. That gave them a head start. And they've done very well. And I thank God for their choices and the things that they do. They've done some remarkable things, and I love them. You know, the handiwork of God, and if we invite it in our lives, it becomes our heritage. What you do today, you're putting something in motion. And people look at you. The people of God, they love soup. They eat soup. Whatever the pastor say, that's the law of the land. And whatever the leaders do, that's what they'll do eventually. Whether it's good or bad. Unless they look unto Jesus, that's the only way they'll come out of trouble. But when you're in it and you're not looking to Jesus, you stay in it. And the things you learn the wrong way will hinder you from learning anything else. That's why false prophets hinder the people. They do so much damage. They'll die. They'll eventually do enough to merit death, and they'll die. But what the legacy they left behind is chaos and destruction, and you can't tell their people nothing because they were groomed wrong. Now Jesus warned us this way. He was in Matthew chapter, I think it was 23. He gave the rundown against the Pharisees. He said, "You look high and low for a proselyte, and when you find one, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you are." And they think they're right, and they're wrong. See, the information that you receive, it does something. If it's good, it invites good information. If it's bad, it will hinder you from learning how to get out of the trap you're in. But when you seek the Lord, you'll see things as they are. And sometimes I meet ministers, they ran into the bad preachers. And they try to serve the man of God. They try to be a blessing. But when they love God, the false prophets don't want you around. If they're into something, if they're into anything worldly, they don't want a true man of God around. Just like the Pharisees didn't want Jesus around. And I learned, you know, as I sought the Lord, I trusted the Lord. And He would show me things and teach me things and things I didn't want to believe, but the Lord will guide you into all truth. And He'll show you traps out there. They are tares. Tares are traps. You don't want to go marry Jezebel, and you don't want to go marry Delilah. They are traps. The men that cared about them, they did them wrong. Ahab may have been a decent person, but he married Jezebel, and he did what she wanted. He acted like he didn't have a mind of his own. He allowed that witch to be to corrupt the whole kingdom and usher in Baal worship. Married a witch. Now look how she died. She was thrown from the rampart out the window, and the dogs ate her. Wasn't nothing left of her but the palms of her hands. And when people would walk through the field and see dog poop, they didn't know that was Jezebel, the once beautiful queen of Israel, a witch. That's what witchcraft will get you. It'll turn you into dog poop, and you'll bust hell wide open. If the dogs eat, they're going to have to poop. That's what witchcraft will do to you or anybody. And then all the priests of Baal, he burned them up in the temple that they had. Alive. He drained the swamp. See, when you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, some things are not right, and you can't tell with the information you already have, but the Holy Spirit will help us. As you seek the Lord, not only when you get in trouble, that has become like that's what people normally do. It's become common to seek God when you're in trouble if you're a Christian. The devil do you bad, and then you go and you try to get out of trouble, and you seek God for a change. You give God your attention for a minute, and he show you what to do, and you get out of trouble, or you begin to get out of trouble, then you go right back to living with, as if God isn't standing right beside you. You go right back to being unaware of the presence of God. Now, so many people do that, it looks normal, but it's not, that's not your heritage. Your heritage is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look at this. Go back to Psalms 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In every way, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Now, most Christians won't obey that. Every now and then you run into people that could live that way. Now, that's the message I've been preaching since 1990. Follow God. Follow him. Obey him. Actually, every message, all the way when I first started preaching in 87, I used to teach about the things of God, whatever he gave me to teach. But I had the revelation in the 90s. The Lord told me that the greatest problem in the churches is people don't follow him. And I started seeking him all the time. Not just when I'm in a ditch. But I started doing that ahead of time. Before I stopped after I got out of my situations, I thought about how I wanted to live. I said, wait a minute, I don't want to keep getting in trouble. I said, Lord, teach me how to navigate my life. I don't know how to do it. I asked him all kind of questions. Everything that was a concern to me, I asked the Lord about it so that I could learn. I didn't want to keep getting in the same problem, having the same problems all the time. I said, it's got to be a better way, and I want to know it. And so he started teaching me. I kept going in his presence, and he kept teaching me. I kept going in his presence, and he kept teaching me. And I learned more and more. And I knew that anybody could do it. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for apostles, evangelists, pastors, prophets, pastors, and teachers. It's not just for us. It's for every child of God. We can all be guided by the Holy Spirit. Every soul is precious to God. See, when Jesus bridged the gap between God and man, he got man by the hand and God by the hand, basically. By his blood. we have redemption. This is true redemption. This is not fake redemption. This is true, holy redemption. We were washed in the blood of the Lamb, made righteous. And now we can talk to God, and He can talk to us, and He can express Himself. Just like He gave us the right to express ourselves. And then you got people who, leaders, who act like it's stacking bricks or something just to go and pray, and the privilege of praying. We need to go back and look again at the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you had to, you had so many requirements just to be able to go to the temple. And if you was a Gentile, you couldn't even go unless you were a proselyte. You had to stay at the outer courts, and nobody could go in the Holy of Holies but the priests. You had to be a Levite, you had to be a priest, and you had to you had to be clean. You had to be, your sins had to be covered by the blood of animals, clean animals. If you were poor, it would have been a turtle. Well, the priest, it would have been the blood of a lamb. And they had to tie a rope to his ankle. And he had bells at the end of his garments. When he would go in there to represent the people and when they were going out to intercede for the people once a year. And if he was unrighteous, he'd die. And they'd have to drag him out with that rope. If he went in unworthily. And now we can go boldly to the throne of God. Even though we were Gentiles, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, made righteous. We can go and talk to God at our will. And He recognizes us as His dear children, and He loves us. The sin debt was paid. What a privilege. And so many people ignore God until they get in a problem. It's good that they'll go seek Him when they get in a problem, but God, then they see God as the man that gets me out of my problem. He's not just a bondsman to bail you out of jail all the time. And then while they're ignoring God, they go get in more trouble. This is no way to run a ministry. This is no way to run a household. This is no way to run a city, a state, a nation, or even a country club. Even a country club can be run better than some churches do. We need to go back to seeking God again, to loving God again, to hearing God again, to boast about how much money they give, and we should give, but there's something much greater that we need to give God more than money. Money is the least we can do. The best thing we can give God is our attention. Now, what if people gave God their attention when things were going well? What if they were ever, their lives was ever increasing, and they said, "Lord, how can I do even better? Lord, I present my body, my being to you as a living sacrifice. Take it and do something with it." And then when instead of paying tithes, just say, "Lord, what are we going to, what is my best wisdom? What can I give today? What do you want? How would you have me give?" And He'll give you a figure, and you just run with it. If you can rejoice over what over his instruction, you can win, folks. God can do, if God can take 10, if you give God 10%, then he can do great things with it. Some people tithe, but they tithe in old dead soil, the old dead church where corruption is. Things are not going to happen. When you start taking holy things to an unholy place, pay attention when the Lord talks to you. If there's something wrong, there's something wrong. It's not always the devil that points out something wrong. When the devil points it out, it's really right, and he's trying to get you against it. But when there's a corrupt pastor or a corrupt church, they're out there. Tabs have started ministries. You don't, your holy money don't need to help them do more damage to the kingdom of God. And I thank God that his most sincere people, he divides them away from what's harming them. Never take your family to an unclean church. They are out there. They do it that way. They do what they want to do. They're into things. I'm not just saying this, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm doing this because the Holy Spirit got me doing this. He said some churches are not churches. This was many years ago. Now, I didn't know what was out there. He called me to be an apostle, and he taught me. He came to me with things, teaching me things, helping me understand. He said some churches is not a church, it's a coven. It's full of witchcraft. Now that's the bottom of the barrel. I wouldn't have never thought something like that. Now where are they? I don't know. That's something you're going to have to go to the Lord. On the radio broadcast, I from time to time I encourage the people to go in prayer and ask the Lord where he will have you go to church. And he'll send you to the church you need to be at. Now, many good churches, but some churches you'll receive better. Some churches need your help more than others. Some churches are safer for your family because of personalities and whatever the case. God knows, he evaluates everything. Now, I can just say come to my church, which is a wonderful church. The Holy Spirit will send you where you will be happy at, where you will be a blessing. I go to a wonderful church. When I first came to the church I go to, the Lord said every family that come to this church have gotten promoted. I go to a church where people love God, where the Holy Spirit is recognized. My children grew up in an atmosphere of faith. When they have problems, they go to the Lord. Sometimes I don't even know it. And the Lord will bless them. And they have dreams and visions of God. You know, my daughter's in college. She encouraged her friends. She said, now is the time to really do what's right, because at any moment now the Lord can come. She told them that. I thank God for the upbringing, for the church they were raised in. And, you know, they've been healed. All three of them have been healed. My older children. And my youngest one has been healed. And she's 14 now. She's a blessing. And she's healthy. She was born with a hole in her heart. And the Lord closed that hole. The doctor said they would definitely have to operate. Same doctor said, the hole closed up. There's no reason for an operation or a follow-up appointment. And then me and my wife was praying for her, I prayed. I said, Lord, don't just heal her, make her athletic. We had to change our furniture around because she would climb things. I had to take the ceiling fan down. She was riding the ceiling fan. I'm walking down the hall and she's going round and round, hanging from the ceiling fan. So, you know, God has moved in our lives. And I love my children. I love the atmosphere of God. I love his presence. I love his counsel. When he teaches me and give me teachings, I love it. And when he's not giving me a teaching, I think about what he already taught. And I ask him questions. I listen to the word. He prescribes a book for me every morning out of the Bible. I spend the first part of my day listening to the word. I may listen to the same book again and again. It'll finish playing, I'll start it over. If I hear something that captures my attention, I'll go back and play a chapter several times and ask the Lord questions, and then I'll let it play out and finish. I'm feeding my spirit. I minister a lot. So if you minister a lot, you need to take in more than you give out. I want his word in my heart. I can't do God any good unless I receive the strength of his word. I have to be receptive. We all should be receptive. If you see, when people have a big enough problem, they'll fast and pray. Why not live a fasted life? That's what Kenneth Hagin said. Why not just live a fasted life? Leave the world alone. And just Kenneth Hagin used to confess that he said, God is more real to me than the car I'm driving. He wanted to be in his presence. He wanted to live that way. And that's how I want to do. I heard a testimony where he visited a pastor and he had to preach. And Kenneth Hagin stayed in God's presence, but the man had a pinball machine at his house. And for hours, Kenneth Hagin just went and played pinball all day. And then when he got ready to preach, he went and preached. And he thought that he'd be locked up in a room reading all day. But he did he spends time with the Lord. And he had a good time. Sometimes you got to know how to have a good time. You got to take time and just have fun. That doesn't mean God's not on your mind. That doesn't mean you're not meditating on the word. You see, I'm a working man. I have a full-time job. And then I work a business almost full-time. I don't work as many hours on my business as I do on my job. But anyway, I put in hours, and while I'm working, I start the day with the Word of God. And then I come home, I listen to it some more. And sometimes I listen to other men of God, men and women of God, that have had visions and dreams. When the Lord told me to tell his people that his return is imminent and be ready that they be not left, I started listening to people that had the same kind of dreams and visions on the internet, on YouTube, rapture dreams and visions. And in doing so, I found out about Henry Gruber. Now, Henry Gruber is a man who follows God. He's what the Lord was telling me about all these years that any child of God can do. And so, when I listen to him, I say he's obeying God. His ministry is so far different than mainstream ministry. It actually outclasses. I use that word sometimes because he's always operating under the anointing. And anybody that do so, they outclass those that will not operate according to their anointing. He's much set by, just like David was against his own men. He was much set by, because he would go in the presence of God. And he understands things on a much greater level than many others will. Because he goes into the presence of God. It's not because God loves him more. It's not because he's smarter. It's not because he's better. But he's a man of principle. A man that goes in God's presence. A man that values the truth. Anybody can do this. He was raised by good people. He had a great head start. He had honorable parents. But he continued to know the Lord. Anybody that's willing can do this. That's why his ministry outclasses others, because so many people gravitate to what they love more than God. They put other things first. They put their will first over God's will. And I love to listen to Henry Groover, Steve Quayle, Tom Horn. They have greater revelation, and their ministry seems so odd because people are paying attention to what they're used to. But when you go in God's presence, you see things as they clearly are. The good, the bad, the ugly. And you handle what's holy with righteousness. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.